Let's get ready to wrinkle!
I feel it tonight.
It is where we are.
Right?
Lion King.
Yep. That is Lion King. I'm not sure what that
just
was.
Like it.
Beautiful. I think I mixed two or three different sounds verses like in that Simba. One piece right
that was,
there.
That was Creed doing their impression of Elton John.
Yeah, which is actually Elton John doing his modern voice, which sounds more like Creed than anything. Have you had the displeasure of, see, what I found that if I use Pandora or iHeartRadio or anything and I thumb stuff up and thumb stuff down, it doesn't matter where I start channel-wise.
Ooh, sexy.
It's always going to come back to like Elton John and Billy Joel. Apparently, that's the music that's catered for me, which I like Billy Joel and I like some classic Elton John. Not at all. Like, you know, like it started off, I started a station like the Eagles and I
you
up listening.
End up at Bill. You end up at,
I end up Billy at Billy Joel. John, Elton John, or Billy John. Yes.
Billy
I look at
Billy John.
Yeah. Yes.
Billy John.
Woo-hoo. Billy John.
Okay. I, also, if I were to sit down and like go Fats Domino, I'll end up listening to Billy Joel, which makes and Elton John, which makes yes. sense. He's a piano guy, but you know, we're talking 40s, 50s,
yeah.
right? 30s, yeah. 40s, 50s. And shoot, I don't even know if he was still active in the 50s. But, you know, anything.
Childish Gambino? Would that come up with the...
I'm not sure. I think at that point, I'd probably just be listening to Jim Gaffigan. And and what's that guy who had the sitcom this year that got canceled?
Yes, exactly.
And right. A number of people.
You know, it was that comedian, and it was all the
Hayden
whole show. The whole show was just his old bit.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay, yeah, that was the one. Sure, why not?
Oh, yeah.
But it all comes back, and the problem is, because they don't want to pay as much for the licensing, I'm assuming, it's and also live performances are longer. You know what I mean? Because there's usually like more refrains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so they last longer, so they're not mm-hmm. playing as many songs.
Mm-hmm.
I get these live performances of modern Elton John doing his classic songs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad. It is so bad. Like listening to like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And like, Yellow Brick Road. I'm like, what is this? You are literally the opposite voice that you had when you were younger. I mean, a lot of people burn out. A lot of people can't sing at all when their career's gone on that long. So he deserves credit for that. But my gosh.
Yeah.
It is a 100% different sound.
That's what happens with years and years of drug and alcohol use.
That's true.
I don't know how much Elton John was rolling hard. You know, I don't know how much he was dropping, as the kids say.
Is that what they say?
Yes.
His storied career.
That's how he said yes.
Yeah.
To use that.
But yeah, it definitely, there is very, very post-Vetter Creed-like tendencies to his voice, which I find quite unfortunate.
Now, did J.J. Abrams actually go to Elton John and ask him to kind of dial back the growly?
No. Oh. No, he went. In fact, J.J. had very little involvement. He just let Elton John do whatever he wanted.
Oh. So it's like, more of the John Williams route.
Yeah. Opening text
crawl. You're Elton John, do what you want.
Opening text crawl. Rock him!
Okay, so we're setting precedence. When it comes to J.J. Abrams and music, he just says do whatever you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Pretty much.
I remember when rock was young.
You may wonder, why you joined listening to this podcast.
Hands, and
you may wonder what we actually talk about on this podcast.
I'm kind of wondering.
You know what we also had? Me and Susie? What? Fly Casual, episode number 43.
You did? Hello. Better than the answer to everything.
Wait, but it's not over yet. How did you have it?
You know.
Because I'm a Rocket Man!
Oh.
Yeah, he's a Rocket Man.
You ever seen Rocket Man starring Harlan Williams?
Yes.
Recommend it.
Mm. He farted in the thing.
There was,
funny.
Yeah, there was also a monkey. There was a space chimp.
There was a monkey.
Yeah.
There was a space
chimp. Which is also quite hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. Just saying it, you know it's funny. Just from that right there.
Monkeys.
I'm laughing.
Yeah. I am your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. With me, of course, on my left is the lavender clad Mr. Michael J. Archbold.
Corey T. Wilson, how you be, my friend?
I'm fine. Is that, did I speak the truth? Is that a lavender or is that more of like a mauve?
No, it's not mauve. It's lavender.
I was recently listening to Ask Me One More, I think is the name of the show. It's a quiz show on NPR. And they referred several people, not one person, several people referred to the color as mauve.
Mauve. Well, that's the new way to say it.
And when NPR says I'm pronouncing something wrong, I tend to believe them. But in this case, I was like,
nah, I'm not.
That's not OK. I'm hoping one person got it wrong and the rest of you just don't want to embarrass that person on the radio. So you're all
or they're questioning themselves. Is it mauve?
Okay. Mauve. Yes, of course. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, man, I am. I'm starving Marvin tonight, man.
I know.
I didn't get a. On my way here, I usually pick up the Taco Bell on the way here.
Yeah, right? The Taco Bell.
The Taco Bell.
That's the true Fort Wayne pronunciation of Taco Bell. The Taco Bell.
The line was full, of course, and I was hurrying to get here. Of course, when I got here, you guys sat on the couch for another half hour. So
yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I blame you for my hunger pains.
Well, part of it is that when you said you were going to be a few minutes late, I texted back and said, I'm like, what are you doing? You know he's going to show up with a bag of Taco Bell in his hands. So there was automatically, you had to beat that expectation.
I tried.
Yeah, well, at least you're getting a little bit of nutrients off the yeast and barley in the beer
that you've been trying. Yeah, I'm trying, yeah. Yeah, the Miller Lite's hitting the spot. Yeah, it's got to. Yeah. It has to.
No,
it has no choice.
Survival of the drunkest, I guess. So there's that. And of course, over there at Master Control, Mr. Stephen J. Howie.
Oh crap! It's my turn.
Over.
Oh crap!
He got away from the microphone, and I was like, "You're mine."
I even hesitated. Is he going to call it? No. Oh, he
Your
did.
Your soul is mine. Yes.
And yep, I have a Kimberly Coke.
You have a Kimberly Coke.
Where's the Pure Leaf? Hello.
I drank that the last time I recorded a week ago,
right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, you expect him to drink Pure Leaf tea every Friday night? What are you out of your mind? Yeah.
I did double up the Pure Leaf tea, and Stephen I bought J. two. Howie. I am Stephen J. Howie, the Pure Leaf tea.
That's true. And he is about to do something awesome, I hear. From his t-shirt that he's wearing.
Did you actually hear it or did you read it?
I read it, but everything I read, I repeat to myself audibly in my head.
Well, you know, that's good.
Yep.
Because if it's written on a t-shirt, I can't do anything unless it's on Audible and I can listen to it.
That's true. You might not even know what your t-shirt says until I said it just now.
That's the first time I've heard of it.
Like, I thought it said my name. Wow. Yeah. Oh, I had no idea.
Everything's upside down.
I thought it had my phone number on in case I get lost. Yep. Anyhow,
speaking of getting lost,
over across the pond and down a few is Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy. Gonna hit the Taco Bell there, Garrick?
No,
yeah,
I don't do that anymore.
That's a young man's game, as you've told us. Indeed,
that's right. Yep,
indeed. Well, boys, you got your thinking caps on.
What? I have to think?
Shoot.
You got your talking muscles?
People know that we don't think.
You got your excitement butt plugs in?
Do you have your phones silenced?
I'm not the only one, am I?
Make sure you silence your phones.
Silence your phones and...
And wait for the music to finish.
That's right. Pull up your bell bottoms because it's time to get this party started. It's time for reviews!
All right.
Reviews.
Oh, gee.
This is my favorite part in the podcast.
Now, before you get started, Garrick, let me once again throw out the warning to our listeners that when we're talking reviews, we're going to be reviewing several things, and we will be telling it how it is. So those with sensitive souls might want to listen away momentarily because we're going to be talking about what today?
We are going to be talking about Leia, the comic, number 4, Princess Leia.
Oh, goody.
And, this was a comic explosion this week. We also had Marvel Star Wars number 6.
And
Darth Vader number 6.
Oh, yeah.
So was that 3 sixes? Was that 3 sixes?
That's 2 sixes and a 4.
Oh, okay, good.
Whew. Yeah, sorry.
Whew.
Yeah, we dodged a bullet there.
That's like 16 comics.
basically
we better get started.
There's gonna be a lot of discussion I believe between us and I guess the entire world on Star Wars 6 and Darth Vader 6. I'm gonna put those off for a little bit and talk about Leia number 4.
Listeners have been clamoring ever since we teased last week, and you're gonna put it off. It's just like Mike waiting for us to talk about Heart of the Jedi's whatever.
Lords of the Sith.
Did you guys cover
Heart
that
of the
yet?
Jedi.
Let's do that
Heart
first.
Of the Jedi.
So let me do a quick.
That
review.
Should be a book. Heart of the Jedi.
Ready? Synopsis timer. You got the timer
of
ready.
Leia 4.
And go.
In this penultimate issue, Leia and Avon escape Celeste with the help of Nian Yub. Yes, that Nian Yub. And Leia rewards his herring effort with a belt, like a belt you use to hold up your pants. I guess it's a great reward on Celeste because, you know, they have like large pants and because, you know, they're pudgy.
And short.
Or maybe I'm thinking of Oompa Loompas or something. Leia sends a delegate to the contingent of Alderaanians on a far distant planet, of which consists of the Star Wars equivalent of Mahatma Gandhi and George Wallace.
Nice.
I think I just got an idea for a new sitcom there.
Yep. Yep.
Meanwhile, Leia talks. Yes, talks, not shoots, not headbutts. True talks. That.
Yes.
To the unwitting mole that she has picked up on her journey and convinces her to trick the Imperials into stumbling into an ambush. And of course, the imps don't need Ackbar to tell them what's happening here. Her plan called out. Leia offers herself up in exchange for the mole's sister. Now the princess is back in Imperial hands and without any hope of escape. Or is there?
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, dun, dun, dun.
I don't think she escapes.
Nope.
She's going to die in the next episode.
Dies.
Oh, yeah.
New canon.
She's gone.
Super dead.
Well, it is the next issue is the last issue. So
yeah, there you go.
She's a goner.
Death of Leia.
So, yeah, you called it, man. I mean, she wasn't action Leia so much.
Yeah.
Now, there was one panel, though.
Kung Fu Grip Leia.
There was one panel, though, that made me laugh my butt off. So, yeah, there's a scene where she's kind of like in a hangar or something. Or in some kind of factory, I can't remember, and they're bringing some arms in, and somebody opens a box, and the panel is basically Leia. Think I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger holding a howitzer.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's a BFG, man.
Yes, it is a BFG, yes.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, and she was saying something like,
she munching on a cigar.
Yes, she should have been.
That's the only thing I need to.
But
go
I think,
back
and I think, speed up. I think the dialogue was something like they've get, got, I've got something planned for them down. Or something.
Oh yeah. My!
It was
gosh.
Ridiculous.
No,
at which point
say,
she nods her head, and the welding torch comes, the welding mask comes down over her face, and she lays waste.
Dun, dun, dun.
Leia and Avon just grasp arms and they like show their massive biceps in an embrace or something.
No, they actually link up and form super. Leia.
Oh
yeah, and
the combiners,
they come out up. And just stomp on
now,
it.
How
everybody.
Are they gonna link up? I really want you to hear this,
Howie. I'm not gonna draw whoa. You dirty pictures. I won't do it.
I want dirty pictures, but whoa.
Protest also compliance.
Yeah, so I swear this. Oh, go ahead.
Was a little bit better, I guess, than that has been in the past.
It's a low bar.
Yeah, I kind of analyze. Because a lot of people disagreed with me that they don't they actually like this series, and that's fine.
I'm sure people do.
Yeah, and I analyzed it like, okay, here's what gets me about the art. I think the artist has trouble creating
drawing?
Emotion oh. on the face, so they try to create hand gestures to illustrate emotion.
So everything looks just completely wackadoo.
It's like yeah, this so, all the time.
Yeah, but all
Mike's,
the fingers
doing semaphore right now.
Yeah, but all the fingers in the middle finger and the ring finger are always fused together
yeah.
into one mega
yeah,
finger.
They are.
And it's really weird.
So they all look like hand puppets with like the yeah, little like flip out hands.
They all look like they have four fingers and the middle one's just
well,
this
and
huge,
it's
giant
back to the art thing too. I mean, it's like one panel's drawn really well
yeah.
and then four or five are just I mean just awful.
Really? And yeah, in this issue, the one panel in particular, I think really got me. It's kind of a you know, zoomed out image, I guess. And it's the full body of Leia. And it looked like Pablo Picasso's like mentally challenged niece, like drew their faces on because there's like, oh, I'm going to put a question mark for a nose and a little at symbol for the eye. I mean, it's just it's so bad sometimes.
That's so frustrating.
And with the writing, Mark Waid is one of my favorite writers. And I think they kind of wasted his talent doing this short series because I think he works better in the long game. I think he would work a lot better in a 10-issue series because the overall story of this is enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's just how it's executed.
Yeah.
And even I don't even think it's the right comic form is the right medium. I think this whole storyline could be better tackled like a novel or maybe a young adult series or something like that.
A young adult series.
Yeah.
How bad is it that I look at that as just right by itself, just being an awful stamp?
There are some good young adult series out there. Boba Fett series is pretty good.
I actually enjoyed the Jedi Apprentice series that came out before episode one, just because I was hurting so bad to get a taste of what was to come unwittingly. But overall, it seems to be like the young adult series tend to be the ones that, like, especially historically, canonically, there's a lot of adverbs in there, didn't really matter much.
Right.
So, yeah, I still have a major problem with this series in total. Again, I'm not reading them frame by frame. I am being a horrible person and developing an opinion from what little exposure I've had, but...
Well, you hate comics. We all know that.
I'm not like Mike.
It's Rebels.
I'm not like Mike and Rebels.
You hate Kanan.
That's right. I don't hate Kanan either.
A Kanan comic. No wonder you hate it. That's like double.
I'm really uninterested in them bending characters to be something that they have not been.
It's a new bending power.
I mean,
character bending.
I guess it would be different if it were like a part of the storyline or part of the timeline where the character goes through something that causes a change in them. But to have a character who we know the front end and the back end already, so we're going to put something in the middle that just doesn't fit at all. That bugs me. Bugs me too much.
Yep.
Yeah. Too much.
Yep. So I think that's enough of that, Leia.
Yes, please.
Now let's move on to the real stories that are going on this week about
the real comics.
The real comics.
For real, real?
The for real, real. Now, Vader 6 and Star Wars 6. Now I'm going to kind of summarize these together, because the way they did it is they ran these two comics basically simultaneously in the same time frame. And they actually ended with almost exact same panels.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, it was cool.
So you ready?
And go.
Do it.
We open with Luke and Boba Fett battling it out on the Masters of Tarascasi. Only in real life. I mean, comic life. They just beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah!
The seemingly innocuous farm boy comes out on top by finding the one weakness of Mandalorian Duraplast armor. Small crates. Luke skedaddles away with him with the diary, journal of Obi-Wan Kenobi, which had fallen out of the Fett-defeating bread box. Meanwhile, on the space whale, the GM of the Saturday Night Role-Playing Club is really pissed off because, like, his mom won't get off his back and the Funyuns he ate for breakfast are really coming back to haunt him. So he decides to be that GM and takes his middle-income, overweight white rage out on the PCs by throwing them up against the Vader NPC. But no force points, and heroic roles are not automatic, guys. Why? Because I'm the GM and I said so. That's why, James. Vader does like Vader is wont to do and opens a whole 24 pack of cans, but soon he is back in the corner. Luckily for Vader, Jerry doesn't like Charlie because he said Superman sucks. And also he takes too long to decide his next action. I mean, seriously, you've had 3 turns to decide what the hell, man. So his character stabs Charlie in the back and there's no chance for dodge. That's right, Charlie. Just because you know doesn't mean your character knows.
That's right.
That's right. Vader goes to sulk as soon as the box-dazed Boba Fett arrives to let Vader know the name of the pilot who destroyed the Death Star. Turns out Annie and that cold pilot just might be related. Spoiler.
Uh-oh.
And Annie seriously breaks down, like, the whole viewport in front of him on the ship. And I think that's all right. Oh, wait. Han Solo also has a wife.
Oh!
What?
Oh.
Ah! And that's how it ended. It fades to black, as comics do. And there's just a little byline says, oh, by the way,
yeah,
Han Solo had a wife.
So,
well, enough Star of that. Wars. Okay, on to
right along.
Lords of the Sith. So,
Thank you. Can never get enough.
Obviously, the biggest bombshell to come out of this is Han Solo apparently has a wife. And this character was introduced in issue 4, and we didn't know who this person was. It was just a masked figure that was looking for Han Solo.
Right.
And she ends up tracking him down to one of his old haunts and comes off the gangplank and just says, hey, I'm Sana Solo, you know, Han Solo's wife. And then we're kind of left with that. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the comic.
Sit and stew, readers.
And it's funny, the panel with Han and Leia, Han's got his hand in his face.
Yep.
Yeah. And Leia's going,
What? Excuse me? No, you didn't.
Well, just prior in the comic, he had brought her to her cave and it was pouring wine for him.
Grilling wine.
Trying to seduce her.
And
of course,
cave.
Leia's not having any of that. But
she headbutts him.
I mean,
no.
So obviously, we have a big canon breaking thing here.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of mentioned this in the last cast that
canon breaking or canon shaking.
You know, it's kind of shaky. I mean, that's kind of big news for a character that's been around forever. And I don't know. We talked a little bit about how, you know, we felt about, you know, comics being the medium to break such a big event. But I have to question personally how big this is actually going to be. I mean, it's a big deal this week and the internet exploded and everybody's crazy going insane and everything, but obviously this has to be played down, right?
I mean
at some point you're gonna find
never
out
never mentioned again in the in the movies that come after.
Never mentioned again and blah blah blah. So
I'm sorry, well, that argument on Hoth down in the tunnels, you would have thought if for one second at some point Leia would have gone, well, at least I wasn't married and didn't bother telling anybody.
That's right. So I mean, this has to be tamed in some way.
And I see this as I think this is a strengthening of Han Solo's character, because I can see him getting drunk on Nar Shaddaa one day, marrying a dancer, you know, then skipping out the next day, and then like the dancer or whoever's just taking it seriously and tracking him down. But I know that's probably not exactly right, because she knows Han Solo a little bit too well. So I'm kind of wondering what her background is.
I think it's going to end up being like it was a scheme or something. They got married for a reason. Specifically, like they were on a smuggling run or
so
something.
So she could get Krillian citizenship.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I knew it was going to come back to the citizenship test.
He just wants to bring up Corellia over and over again. I've stayed quiet.
Okay.
I've let you guys talk about the... I think that this is a giant pile of... personally. I don't know.
It's an attention grabber. It's trying to sell issues.
It reeks of an attention grabber. It reeks of a extraordinarily cliche trope.
Yeah.
That's been explored in television programming
all over
countless times. Yeah. Oh, someone has a wife and we didn't know, and they showed up at the end of the season.
Yep.
And I am so turned off by this. Now,
let's say
this becomes a big character later. I still think it's a really cliche to, you know, a good character even. I still think it's a really cliche way to bring it in. And so when I first heard about this, you guys were talking about, oh, there's the big bomb and that happened in the thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go Google it because I haven't read it yet.
Lame.
And I found it and I looked at it and I read the panel and I went, meh. I mean, literally, I didn't go, oh, interesting. I literally went dumb.
I mean, I gotta admit, I wasn't real excited about it. I mean, it was a big deal. I understand why people were, you know, up in arms about it or whatever. But again, ultimately, when I read it, I was like, yeah, this is going to go way fast.
I'm going to weigh in because I haven't yet.
Do it.
Whoa. I think this is fun.
Do it.
I don't think it's stupid. I think it's just fun. I think it's fun to do. I think it's something that gets people talking, gets people excited. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be like, it's not going to be
buying
a thing.
Comics.
Yeah. And I think it's just a fun thing. I thought, oh, this is great. This is fun. Why not?
Yeah. In the next issue, they're going to find out Luke's going to drop his book and a joint's going to roll out. And he's going to say, I was holding it for a friend. And that's going to be a blast. And then, but you know, he's got
I would
a
laugh
friend.
At that too.
He's got a friend who you've never seen in any of the issues before, but he's comes from a really rough family and he's struggling with his parents are
Is
going through
hobby?
A divorce.
It's and, a fixer.
Oh my gosh. And then at the end, Kimmy Gibbler does something.
You're just too negative. This is a comic. This is fun.
A cliche is a cliche, no matter where it is or what purpose it serves. It doesn't make me mad. It just makes me roll my eyes. That's all it is. It's just whatever.
Now, the other big bombshell that we had was Vader finally figures out who the pilot that blew up the Death Star was.
That was actually pretty cool. That part was more exciting, I thought.
Because it happened at the end of both comics. And it happened the exact same way.
Right.
Boba Fett comes in, tells him the last name of the pilot is Skywalker. And at the end of Star Wars, he just kind of gets mad and breaks a windshield on the Star Destroyer.
He's in a private chamber in a Star Destroyer.
At the end of Vader, because it's about Vader, obviously, he gets mad, but he also has flashes back to the past and realizes, oh, the Emperor has been lying to me this whole time.
He flashed back specifically to the scene where Padme tells Anakin that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Right.
And
So it kind of, I guess for me, it was kind of a turning for Vader. He's like, okay, you know, this is enough. I'm taking it all. And that's basically how it ended. He's on a mission to take it all, whatever that means.
Well,
but, you know,
and that plays, I think that plays perfectly too into, I mean, just the way it was executed into it. Remember in Empire Strikes Back after he cuts off Luke's hand and standing there and he's offering him, he's like, we can defeat the Emperor and all. I mean,
and he's the one who pitched to the Emperor that if he turned, he could be a great asset.
Right.
The Emperor is like, yeah, let's get rid of this. Let's kill it off, blah, blah. And he's like, but wait, what if he was with us?
Right.
Wink.
If he could be turned.
Yeah.
These robot hybrid people, I mean, they played in as well because the Emperor.
The not Cylons?
The not Cylons. Right. The Emperor is training them to kind of temper, if you will, Vader. Like he says, okay, if they kill you, fine. But if you kill them, you're only that much stronger. So that it's kind of like he doesn't really care if Vader succeeds him or whatever. He just wants the strongest to survive. I think that's kind of ignited something in Vader as well. Once he realized, Emperor.
They did have a little private moment though, too.
Yes.
And Palpatine was like, I have no doubt that you're going to kill all these guys, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, I know you'll be fine.
Right.
So, it was interesting.
I like how Lords of the Sith and these comics they really kind of complement each other.
Right. And I guess a third bombshell, if you will. I guess the first chronological use of telekinesis by Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
When he knocks
Boba Fett fight, man, was actually pretty cool.
It was. It was really awesome. There was a lot of panels of just pure just action awesomeness. And the art in this is amazing.
It is. Yeah.
But he uses telekinesis to pull a box and hit Boba Fett upside the head and knock him out.
It wasn't a noodle?
No, he didn't know what he did.
Okay.
I think that's how they kind of, they're like, oh, well, how'd that happen? I don't know. Oh, let's get out of here. You know, but he inadvertently used the force to protect himself through telekinesis, which I thought was pretty cool as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Well, is that it for reviews?
unless you guys have any other feelings on the comics.
No, I think that catches us up, in which case it means it's time for the Porkins Bite of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know this, but although Samuel Jackson played Mace Windu, another person that auditioned for that role was none other than Tupac Shakur.
What?
Whoa.
Wait. What?
What?
Tupac? Wait, when did he die?
Also, the dude who played Mace Windu, Samuel Jackson, claimed there was an engraving on his lightsaber. And the engraving said, "Bad mother."
Oh! Oh!
Wait.
Well, you know.
Oh yeah!
Yes, I did. I have heard that.
Wow, that's
true. Awesome.
That was a twofer.
That was a twofer again
for real.
Hot dang! Wow, you guys missed your opportunity to drop the again in between.
We tried.
Yeah,
we just didn't do it very well.
No. But that means it's time for rumors.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Time to take off the pants. Not wearing.
That's our late night music.
It is.
Thank you for tuning in to Hot 109, which isn't even a thing that you can do. So
this is true.
What's going on in the rumor mill?
Well, Michael boys, there's all kinds of rumors this week. Actually, just one specific rumor about, hey, you know what? You know, Marvel, they do this little thing at the end of all their movies, right?
What?
And
a mid or post credits sequence or both?
Yes, exactly.
Shmarma.
So the rumors are hitting now that hey, you know, The Force Awakens, they're supposed to be getting a little bit there at the end.
Yeah.
And pure rumor, pure conjecture at this point. I think that's kind of more wishful thinking than anything from what I've seen. But how does that make you feel? I can tell you personally.
You my therapist?
That's not that's not Star Wars. I'm sorry, just like flashbacks. Nah. You don't do that crap, man.
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it.
Oh my gosh, you guys are weird.
I'm cool. No. The reason being.
No, that's bull.
The reason being.
I like them.
That it's not a genre bending thing. It's not a post credit sequence isn't something that's exclusive to a certain style of film, even though Marvel has certainly made it popular.
Yeah, or everybody does it. I'm not gonna. I mean, it's not just
everybody
Marvel.
Does it.
Geez, I'd say half the movies you see anymore. No, half have the movies going
you
on.
See anymore whatever, have something like whatever. That. American Sniper did not have a post credit sequence, Mike.
That's why I said half.
What if he's what alive? What if at the end of A New Hope they had Vader go, Luke, I am your, and they just cut it. That was the post end scene.
And then after credits, what is he? After the that was a post.
That was a post credit.
I thought you were like that was the end of the movie, and then the post credit scenes just went, oh, Father.
Oh no! Most of the theater is
somebody
gone.
Edited this wrong.
Turn the lights back off.
I honestly, I'm
that's
cool
awful.
With it.
I'm sorry, that's completely awful. It's cool. Not. No.
It. Okay. From a cinema purist perspective, it's a crutch. And Marvel has even dialed it back significantly in the last couple
yeah,
of years.
Yeah, right. They haven't really...
They're no longer doing as much teasing. They're just kind of doing a little palette.
The end
runner.
Of Avengers, the first Avengers. What was it? It was just them eating.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So that was the second one.
Shmarmo. No, that was the first Avengers.
Oh, was there a Thanos one? Yeah, the end of Thanos the first Avengers?
Thanos.
The first Avengers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There was sitting in the chair.
That's right. They revealed him. And then that was the mid-credit sequence. The post-credit sequence was them eating shawarma.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And then, but like Guardians of the Galaxy was just Howard the Duck.
That's true.
You know, which serves no purpose other than to go, oh, look, Howard the Duck, which was really funny, you know, and appropriate for that movie. Yeah.
For me, it's not a part of the film.
No, it's almost like an advanced teaser for the next
one. But it will be. Yeah. It will
well,
be
it
on,
is. That's
it'll
what,
be on
that's
the DVD.
I, look at.
I don't
I like
want it.
What if my soldier what if I told you that at the end of the credits for Force Awakens, like all the credits run, it says, you know, brought to you by Technicolor or whatever thing said 40 years ago at the end, you know, that little fat Earth symbol rolls yes. past. It yes. looks like the Atlas, you right. know, and maybe Atlas Media for all I know. But anyway, and then it fades to black. But then they play an actual teaser for the next Star Wars movie.
Not cool.
Because after all, trailers are called trailers because they used to play at the end of a movie, not at the beginning. That's why they started calling them previews, because they started playing them at the beginning, but they were called trailers because they played it. At the end. So let's say, but let's, no, I'm not saying you're willing to buy crap. This is a hypothetical situation.
Well, talk. I'm not telling you to stop talking.
I'm just saying,
stop talking.
What if they played a teaser after the movie for the next one? Kind of like at the end of Back to the Future 2, they had
you were going there.
They had the teaser for Back to the Future 3.
Come back next spring.
Made that.
What about that?
For the conclusion of
what about that?
I'm just not cool with it, man.
What is wrong with you? You would be like, no, I'm gonna wait for my teaser.
It's just not Star Wars.
I'd rather
man.
See my teaser on YouTube.
Look, I'm cool with that. If you want to do all that with
theater,
if you want to do that with anthology films and all that stuff, fine. Do whatever you want. But just the main storyline, I'm just not cool with.
Outside the film, it's not, after the credits.
It's not outside the film because if you
put my foot in your balls,
listen. If they do that, it will be on the DVD releases. It just will.
Why couldn't they do it at the end of the film?
They're just not.
You're not. You're telling me they wouldn't do that. And I'm saying, what if they did? You're like, no.
You buy the DVDs and you're going to go to the end of. When you finish watching it for the 300th time, you're going to go to the end every time of the credit sequence?
Well, yeah, if there's something there, yeah.
Nine times
you
out
don't?
Of ten, I would forward to it.
I would, too.
So you go see the teaser 300 times every time you watch that film.
Whatever film that I watch that I know, to this day, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I go to the very end with him with the stupid, you know, he just took a shower saying, why are you here? Go home. Leave. So yes, if the Force Awakens putting something at the end, I will go there every time.
The guy
time.
That compulsively
say go what
cannot
doing
skip
here?
Yes. The post credit sequence is the guy saying, "Don't make me do that."
Yes,
don't make me.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Don't
I get it now. I understand why time. Mike doesn't don't, want it.
Don't. This is personal.
Okay. Look.
Don't pass the joint.
My obsessive compulsive nature will take over, and I don't want that.
Now I understand.
It makes perfect sense.
It's a sickness.
He doesn't want us to pass the joint to him because he's got a drug test coming up.
And he knows he can't.
He knows he can't turn it down. Oh, wow. Man. Everybody learned a little more about Mike today.
I think we got an up title out of that one,
too. You guys brought that out of me. That's bad.
Go wash your hands until they bleed. Scrub. What else is going on?
Man. Remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about Daisy Ridley. She was in Japan, and she said, "Oh, you know, here's a little hint. You know, I'm, you know, so basically the hint that she dropped was that, you know, if everybody, you know, family is very strong in this film, and everybody's been theorizing that she's the daughter of a main character, and the little hint that she dropped was that, you know, she's a recluse, much like another character, dun dun dun, and of course that refers to C-3PO. Luke Skywalker,
Chewie,
or
Obi-Wan,
one of those. Sure,
yeah, he was a recluse. Yoda, also Vader. Recluse.
Vader yeah, Force space. Ghost knocking up some chicks. Yeah,
why not?
What? Oh, yeah. Is that a thing? Oh yeah.
Well, how would that's Obi-Wan how knock up? Born. How would Obi-Wan get a daughter?
I didn't say anything about fraternization
where,
here.
You that's
said
where
she
Anakin
was
came
a
from.
Recluse, kind of like someone else. She's living in the desert. She's a recluse. My mind goes to Obi-Wan.
Okay, so anyway.
I'm saying Obi-Wan's in Force Awakens.
The hint last time was Luke Skywalker. So now we're pulling the 180 again, of course. But this one's kind of a little more compelling from what I've seen. And I'm going to pull up a little picture here. Unfortunately, okay. I'm trying to talk and do this at the same time. So maybe somebody could say hi. Or
if
something.
You would like to see hi. The picture, please go to betterkind.com and look up the show notes for episode 43 of Fly Casual, where you can click on the link and see the picture for yourself.
Yes.
Thank you. On the internet this week, there was some art. What is it called? Why am I?
I'll just start it up again. Again, once again, if you need to see the picture, go to Better Guidance.
What kind of art is drawn before a
concept
movie?
Concept art.
Yes, concept art. There's some concept art that's hit the web this week, and it reveals Daisy Ridley's character, Rey, holding a certain blaster in her hand.
Look awful.
Well, that was from Celebration.
There's lots of blasters.
Okay, was it from Celebration?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That art was in the display at Celebration.
Okay. Well, somebody's making a connection this week, okay? And the connection is that she's holding a certain blaster. And apparently supposedly in the film, there is a scene where a certain Han Solo bequeaths this blaster
or
to
perhaps
Daisy Ridley.
Before the film.
Could be.
Perhaps it was.
Would it be in a
perhaps
preview?
Perhaps it was left with her at a young age.
No,
maybe.
It was not. The article describes that it happens in the
I
film.
Trust nothing but my own judgment.
Well, I'm just saying that
she also has chest hair in this concept
art. That's what the article
art.
Says. I'm just saying.
Look at the picture. She's got chest hair. I'm just saying. She needs a gold medallion to rock that.
All I'm saying is that the lesson to be learned here is don't trust anything. It's all take it with a grain of salt.
Except
believe what you want to believe. Yeah, right. Believe what you want to believe because who knows?
Who
really knows?
It definitely appears to be drawn with Han Solo's blaster in her hand.
Yeah.
That much appears. I mean, yeah, there are other blasters like that, but given all the rumors and the stuff, it would definitely seem that was a very intentional nod there.
Yes, it would. So, you know, again, Han's daughter. I think that's what
that's
we're all rooting for.
That's a pretty common blaster, though. Right?
DL-44?
Yeah, yeah, but this is his.
It gives you a lot of firepower.
Doesn't Luke have one, too?
5D.
5D, man.
Han's was 5D plus one.
Yeah, because it was special.
He modified it.
He's got it modified. Yeah. He's got a special scope.
He's got the scope. Yeah, man. Accuracy.
What if you put a lightsaber
typical
on it?
Typical blaster only did, what, 3D? 5D, man.
Yeah, typical, but you get the heavy, you get the 4D, the 40 plus 2, but a 5D, that's hot
with
stuff.
With a blaster pistol that's readily available? I mean, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Mike.
So, boys, last week we talked about in our news section that Andy Serkis was believed...
Circus of Andes.
Circus of Andes was believed... to just be a live action character, that he was not going to play mocap. Well, there was a certain picture that hit the web this past week that kind of blew that all to hell.
And you don't hire Andy Serkis to act.
That's right. Because he'll overdo it. He starts spitting everywhere.
Yeah, Ultron.
He was an Ultron. He was live action there. So I
keep saying Ultron because no one remembers the name of the character.
Oh my gosh. Claw. Avengers 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Dr. How about Claw. That?
If he had the hook on his hand, people would remember the character name, but he did not yet
Dr.
have it.
Dr. Claw.
It is.
Gadget. I'll get you next time.
So anyway, but Claw. along with this, there was some other information leak that we did not share with you on the newscast. We've got this picture that clearly shows that he's going to be a mocap character, but the additional information that we withheld from you is that there's a character name out there, boys.
Yes, and it's Toad from X-Men.
And no,
because that's what he looks like in this picture. He looks like Ray Park connected to Star Wars,
a little bit.
A little bit, as Darth Toad Maul. In X-Men.
He does very much, though, Darth look Maul. Like, I mean, I'm not Darth wrong Toad. In saying that. I mean, this is the same kind of facial, you know, the dots and all that stuff that
the same Lupita, type of mocap technology,
right? That Lupita Nyong'o had, right? I mean, this isn't just another film that he did.
Nyong'o,
sure,
Nyong'o.
So I mean, because Howie dropped this theory before, it's like, how do we know this isn't just another of his films?
Mm. Yeah, or testing out some technology, or posing for a picture.
Look at that face, that though. That's a Star Wars face.
Wasn't the lady who was taking pictures for Vanity Fair? Yes, isn't she the one that came out and said that he was?
Right. I think
this was she the one who took the pictures? She's about like the most renowned public, you know, PR photographer there is. In the
I don't
world.
Remember seeing that in the
Annie
article.
Leibovitz, I believe, is her name.
Leibovitz, right? I don't believe that was part of that spread, but who knows?
No, it wasn't part of the spread, but they had interviewed her.
Caitlyn Jenner, also with Andy Serkis, looking all menacing. Spread.
He's in the lower right.
Whoa. Okay, so let's talk. We've seen the picture. Let's talk a little bit more about the character name. A little disappointed to say that monosyllabic. Unfortunately.
Yeah. No
way.
Want to know why? Because it's easy to get it monogrammed on all the garbage and stuff on set because it's not friggin' real.
So you think it's a code name?
I think they're all code names.
Okay, so we're going to drop it here. It's what? It's Supreme Leader Snoke. Is that what it was?
Snoke.
Snoke. S-N-O-K-E.
Right.
Is the title right, though? Supreme Leader or something?
Well, oh, I don't
know. Yeah, Supreme Leader. Some North Korean title.
Which, exactly. Which, first off, let's go back to, I mean, the original thought on Andy Serkis's character was that he was going to play the Sith Lord, basically the master
Really?
Kylo Ren?
Kylo Ren. To Kylo Ren's apprenticeship. So, that doesn't seem to be the case, though, if he's the Supreme Leader. What they're saying now is that in the trailer, there's the scene with all the stormtroopers, and you see in the background a bunch of leadership up on a stage, and that Andy Serkis's character, would that be that Supreme Leader that's in the middle?
The origin of that word is actually a large, vigorous, bony fish. So you're Snoke? Welcome.
Yep.
Hey, it fits.
Which is a variant of Snook.
Oh, boy.
Snooky?
Yep. I don't know. So, yeah, when I heard the name, not thrilled. I mean,
also
just about every name I've heard so far.
It's also a brand of e-cigarette. You know what cigarettes produce?
Snoke.
Cancer.
Smoke. As in smoke and mirrors.
Steam and mirrors. Vapor.
No, I think you're reaching, man.
Vapor.
Yeah. I think that any belief in any of this stuff is
vaporware.
Reaching.
Oh, yeah.
So you think Poe Dameron is not real?
I don't know about Poe Dameron. That's so awful it almost has to be, but... But I feel like most of these, I at this point, I'm just giving up on it. I have to not care because if they're
say,
real,
you better start dealing with it now.
I don't like most of them. So I might as well just write it all off and just say names or names, whatever. I'll just turn off that analytical part of my brain that gets me into all this trouble and makes me so negative all the time and just go, hey, their names, you know, whatever. Hopefully they just call each other, hey, you stupid and butt face the whole time. And I'll be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Hey,
Okay, butt face, pass me the spinner. I think we better replace negative power coupling. Butt face.
Yeah. I almost wish the rumor of Palpatine coming back was true because
look at that face.
Don't even say
look
that.
At
don't
that face and tell that. Me he's not trying it's to do a Palpatine face. I'm just saying.
I'm not sure that we'd be mo-capping Palpatine.
What if he was Palpatine appearing in a mist, like an e-cigarette
resurrected in a mist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A misty Palpatine.
He was maybe ghosty Jakku, misty.
It's really a Sith burial planet.
Maybe he's a Sith ghost.
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying. He's a Sith maybe ghost, man.
Sith ghost.
He's the Sith ghost of Palpatine. When I that goes right along with what I was saying before, which is, okay, maybe we need to go back and review exactly what he said, which we took to believe to mean, and maybe it is what he said, that he's not playing a mocap character. Maybe what he meant to say really was, I'm not playing an animated artificial character. Maybe he is playing a humanoid that is actually based on his look, but they are capturing it through motion capture. I don't know.
Or maybe only part of it is captured.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe he's disfigured and then they mocap the disfigured. I don't know.
Nah, Sith ghost.
Sith ghost.
Nailing it.
Sith ghost.
Sith G.
Maybe he's flow walking.
Whoa! Whoa!
Ah, man, I don't know. Any other thoughts about Mr. Snoke?
Mr. Snoke.
Supreme leader. Make it sound like a substitute.
Snokey. Hey there, Snokey.
Make it sound like a chemistry lab substitute.
Mr.
Snoke. Don't ask me about my personal life.
Yeah.
I'm actually glad these names are coming out now because I think I'm going to be able to deal with them. I'm starting to deal with Poe Dameron. And
I love how we've just given up on Poe Dameron to call him Dameron.
Dameron.
Even though I propose that his name might actually be Dameron. Which I find more palatable, but we're not just like, Padameron.
Padameron.
Damn. Just got to get through it, man. Just got to get through it.
He's a P-Dam.
Speaking of getting through things, what's next on the list?
Well, we've all remember that Josh Trank was either left the anthology film to pursue his own.
He left.
Pursue his own.
Don't know whether he found the door material on his own.
Yes, right. Or he was shown the door by certain executives at Disney. But of course, all the rumors now are flying about who his replacement will be on that anthology film. So, by all accounts,
it's me, guys. I'm the replacement.
Yay! Wow. Can I come on set?
Yep.
See you, dude.
You can all be stormtroopers.
Can I be your great?
Can I be a Gamorrean?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Anyway, rumors are flying about who his replacement will be, and by all accounts, the whole Boba Fett deal is still kind of being thrown around. It's now being
Boba Fett's going to be his replacement. That's going to be a
it's going to be nice. Yeah.
It's wow, gonna be that's going to be
Boba
great.
Fett v Solo. That's what they're kind of going with at this point.
Bleh.
It's going to be Dawn more. Initially, we were hearing heist film. Now we're hearing more of a Western type theme.
Ooh,
for this, we were film hearing heist that film for this one.
Yeah,
initially, I thought that's all been Force Awakens.
No.
Initially,
it was supposed to be Bounty Hunter Heist, remember?
I still thought that was the film that became Rogue One.
No.
Oh, we were talking about the second anthologies film at that point?
The whole heist thing was initially rumored to be Boba Fett and the Bounty Hunters.
But it was also supposed to be the first movie.
Yes.
When we were talking about that. The first movie... Right. Still could potentially be a heist film that just doesn't involve Boba.
Well, no, the, by all accounts, now it's going to be a heist film. It's just going to be, rebels that are stealing Death Star
planes. I think you're drawing some boundaries between these concepts that don't necessarily need to be drawn. I think maybe they wanted to do a heist film, but they just couldn't figure out the right vehicle for a heist film, and they did. So now you've got a Boba Fett movie that has nothing, had never technically in this incarnation, has never had anything to do with
it. The thing of it is we don't know. We have no clue.
No, we don't know, but let's not artificially twist tie things together.
Well, at one point it was a Boba Fett heist film. At one point it was.
At one point that was the rumor. All I'm saying is what the rumor was. I'm not trying to.
But we're talking about a different movie now. That was going to be the first movie to come out.
Every time we get to rumors, we're always talking about a different movie. So.
There's look, truth Rogue in that. One, Rogue There's One truth. Has been announced, and by all accounts, it's going to be the heist film of the Death Star plans. This one is supposedly going to be the Boba Fett film, but more with a Western theme now, is what we're hearing. So anyway, rumors as far as the replacement for Josh Trank, we got a couple names being thrown around. First off, Matthew Vaughn. You may know Matthew Vaughn from X-Men First Class.
Not a bad movie.
No, not. It director? Actually was not. Also, Kick-Ass, the Kick-Ass film, the first one.
Yeah. The first one.
The just, first
one. Not the second one?
Not the second one.
He's that not to be confused with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, not Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
Vince Vaughn, not Matthew Vaughn. Just shows up, looks tall, and is sarcastic a lot.
Both of those films I like. So I
not
was,
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
I agree.
No, Stevie Ray Vaughan, would that'd be a way different soundtrack.
Yeah,
I thought the first Kick-Ass film. Actually, I like both Kick-Ass films, but the
I
first
like
one,
both. The first one especially is superior.
Yeah, I mean, it's got good character development. It's got some. It's got some
great
for a film. Yeah, good comedy.
Fight scenes are awesome.
The fight scenes are great, and it's they're super. Yeah, they're superheroes who don't have superpowers. So, so good stuff there. And then, of course, X-Men First Class. Kind of speaks for itself.
Overall, very enjoyable movie, except whenever Banshee is flying around, because that just looks so ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. It's like, oh man, we ran out of budget.
Yes, true. The other name being thrown around.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Jon Favreau.
The dude what made you know, you made your Vince Vaughn jokes, but flip the coin is Jon Favreau.
The guy what made Elf, right?
The guy what made Elf.
Forget Iron Man 1 and 2.
Yeah, right. I was gonna say more recently Iron Man 1 and 2. So
known visually to you as Happy Iron, you know, Tony Stark's chauffeur.
I mean, here we go. We got, you know,
and of course
some Marvel properties, people that have been involved in Marvel properties. Now, I would imagine that Jon Favreau's been involved
More
directly with Disney.
Shocked the crap out of me with Iron Man.
Yeah.
I love Iron Man.
Yeah.
Think I was going to love the movie until I found out they were casting Robert Downey Jr. And I went, wait a minute, Jon Favreau's not the stuck up, idiotic, up his own butt jerk I thought he was, because that is an amazing casting decision.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever thought for a second that Jon Favreau might actually make a good action movie.
Yeah.
And he did.
He did.
Oh, yeah. He did. I mean, honestly, you can give Jon Favreau a lot of the credit, arguably, for Marvel being what it is right now. For Marvel having the in-house, like Marvel wholly owned cinematic universe being what it is now. It was the Iron Man movie. That really substantiated.
Yeah, it kind of did, because before that, what do we have? We had the Hulk disasters and
That's not even part of the cinematic universe. I mean,
The
second one, the Incredible Hulk was.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But both, Iron Man to me, was, they're both
Iron
disasters.
Man was first. Because
is that before
the Incredible it was before Hulk? Because the post credit sequence, as we were discussing earlier, was Tony Stark coming and talking to Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Yep.
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 So that's the thing. Iron Man is what put the foundation under the giant monster Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Was it a wood foundation or a concrete?
Oh heck no, that's concrete? Not that's like not even up to code now, man. What are you living in the 70s?
Come on.
But yeah, interesting. That's interesting.
I'm just flow walking right now.
Also, Jon Favreau was in a season of The Sopranos playing pretty much himself.
Okay.
Nice. It was
kind of entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was very interesting. I mean, I'm a Jon Favreau fan, and
it's just awesome.
To me, if I had to guess, I mean, again, Jon Favreau is more tied to Disney than Matthew Vaughn is. So if I had to guess, if there was, you know, if one had an up on the other, right, would be him.
But I don't know. Does any individual have more attraction to Disney than any other individual? Regardless, I mean. Who knows what crazy mysteries are weaved in the boardrooms at Disney, you know?
Sure.
When the office doors close, who knows what kind of talk goes on, whether it comes down to like finances, you know, actual skill set, interest, familiarity with the property. I have not yet been able to figure out at all what their litmus test is. So,
well, now with that said, I mean, as good as Iron Man 1 was, Iron Man 2 got a lot of criticism.
It did.
Which I don't, I actually like Iron Man 2, but
I liked it too. It had a little bit of sequelitis, you know, but at the same time, it was also, it had a lot of things it did well, despite the fact that contract negotiations didn't work out with, Lawrence,
the guy that
Terrence Howard,
who I really liked as Rhodey in the first one. You know, that whole opening scene where Don Cheadle walks in and he goes, well, I didn't expect you to be here. And he goes, yeah, well, it's me. So get used to it. Like those types of self-aware nods and stuff. Right. There's a brilliance to that.
Sure.
And yeah, Mickey Rourke's character is Mr. Whiptastic or whatever. Wasn't
Whiplash,
which wasn't quite as well fleshed out as it could be, but
it's
not my bud. It's a funny looking bud. But at the same time, Sam Rockwell's character, even though it was Sam Rockwell playing Sam Rockwell, but still, I like Sam Rockwell.
Right. Oh, I do
really
too.
Enjoyed it.
He kind of reminded me of his character that he played in. You were talking about Adams before. What's the?
Oh, Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Right.
In Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Kind of had that quality to him.
I cannot believe I just pulled that name out. It's been so long.
That's awesome.
So long. But there was a lot of really good parts to that movie. All overall, cohesively, it was a little rocky, but I still won't say, you've still got blemishes like Thor 2. Thor the Dark World was a terrible movie.
I kind of didn't like either one of them, but
that's you can go straight to hell because the first one's great. You guys suck.
No,
but Thor 2, which was made by Kenneth Branagh, Thor 2 was not. Thor the Dark World was a different director.
And first Thor was awesome. Right.
There's a lot of ups and downs, and I would say Iron Man 2 is on just barely on the upper echelon.
Yeah,
and I liked Iron Man 3 quite a bit actually. I know a lot of people did too.
I know I'm a fan, but. So, yeah, interesting. It'll be interesting to see how all that develops. And speaking of anthology films and outside the main storyline, there's rumors again popping up about a certain Ewan McGregor revising.
Wait, which Ewan McGregor?
You just said a certain one. So
there's a certain one. It'd be the one.
The dude what swim through potties?
The guy who sang at the Moulin Rouge?
Yeah. Come what may. You won't believe what kind of culture you're in for when you tune into Fly Casual.
No, it's the one that tells big tales, big fish.
Big Fish, good movie.
Oh, you mean the dude what played Daddy Warbucks in Annie? Gotcha.
Ah, there you go.
Yep,
that one. Anyway, no, the one that plays Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels.
Whoa, that particular
one. So now we've heard these Obi-Wan Kenobi prequel, sequel, I guess. Movie rumors before
midquels,
yeah. So mid-quels. I mean, and I think at that point it was more wishful thinking than anything else. But supposedly somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody says that Disney.
And these always have to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Disney has signed or is involved in the process of signing Ewan McGregor to a contract for an undisclosed project.
Rebels.
So I don't know. I guess two questions. Is it for a Star Wars project? And how do you feel about that if it is?
I want to see it.
I'm with you.
Rouge too.
Oh, no.
I want to see it.
I do too. I'm there.
If it's Star Wars, I want to see it.
Yes.
I don't care.
With yes. You in the world.
I think we talked about this before.
We got a lot of Elton John going on tonight, too. Have you noticed
that? I would personally like to see Ewan McGregor get another shot at the character of Obi-Wan.
Under a different director.
Under a director that would help him really develop it and do it well.
Yeah. You know,
I think he kind of wants that. I think he wants some redemption.
Yeah, personally, too.
We talked, we had rumors, I don't know, back October, December time frame.
But we didn't do rumors back then.
We did. And about Obi-Wan having a trilogy.
Yes.
And I went, immediately. I booed that.
Right.
I still would. However, even if it was just a bit part in another film, even if it was just, for some reason, Obi-Wan's ghost is now young Obi-Wan or something like that. Even if that were the case, what you just said, the opportunity for redemption.
Yeah.
Not that anybody, I don't think anybody walks away from the prequels going, you know what? Everybody was great, but that Ewan McGregor guy, come on.
Yeah, that wasn't where the problems were.
No, but in fact, I would say he was the one who, outside of one shot, there's one scene in the entire prequel trilogy where it is literally the worst acting of anyone. He takes out Hayden Christensen. He takes out Jake Lloyd. He has one line where it's the worst line of the prequel trilogy.
They're in the elevator in episode 2 going up to the apartment. He goes, why, when the time there was a Gundark in the pit or something.
Nope.
That wasn't it, huh?
Nope, that's not it. Are you ready?
You were the chosen one.
No.
I have the higher ground.
I have the high ground. That's not it either.
That's She's not dead, it. Anakin.
No, no.
It's, the Younglings.
That's the one. When he's standing there with Padme and he goes, he's killing younglings and then grabs his hand in the face.
He was and trying to hide the disappointment of this whole
laughing
scene.
While you're delivering that line? It's like the most overacting I've ever seen. And it's like the fact that no one on set went, no, for real.
Because he's sitting in his trailer before he's shooting the scene. He's like, I got to say the word younglings.
Oh, man.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. Someone roll me another dube because it's going to take 3 or 4 to get through this scene. Should go back and check and see if his eyes are bloodshot.
What the hell is a youngling?
I am not kidding. That killing youngling. Like it was. That is a low point. But you know what? Yes. Actors have bad takes all the time. It takes a director watching, you know,
their
43-inch screen some 40, 50 yards away behind the curtain going, no, we need to do that one again. But nobody did, apparently. No,
you don't have the budget for that anymore.
Overall, Ewan McGregor was one of the better actors in those movies. And
I could totally get into an Obi-Wan movie. It's him and the Ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn as buddy cops or something.
Qui-Gon and like a Nerf. They got like a buddy Nerf who's like their canine unit. He's like a big old Nerf. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this
hovers all over him,
whatever they're called,
all over the upholstery and the speeder, Nerf slobber.
This particular article, I'll just go ahead and tell you. It does
on the upholstery.
It does claim that
this is the best idea ever, Mike. You need to quit trying to skate past.
I know. I'm not.
Yeah, it's marvelous.
I'm pitching this to Disney.
We're doing it.
You do that.
Yep.
We're gonna call it Obi and Pooch.
Qui-Gon, has he like inherited the body? He reincarnated as Pooch.
Oh my God! This writes itself. It can talk using the Force, but only to Obi-Wan. So whenever he talks audibly back, everybody thinks he's crazy. This is the best idea ever.
Nailed it.
Cancel the podcast. We're writing this tonight. Okay, Mike.
you guys done having fun?
Probably not.
All right. Carrie Fisher. We kind of mentioned before in the last cast that there was a news report that came out that said she was at an autograph signing recently, and she had signed the particular poster that she was autographing as Mrs. H. Solo.
Indeed.
And so, of course, I wanted to kind of go back to that and talk about kind of the more spoilery stuff and things, you know, kind of talk about some of the things that we learned in this cast and how that all relates together. So
now, was it Mrs. or was it Ms.?
It was Mrs. H. Solo.
Was it Mrs.? I thought it was Ms.
No,
Ms.
H. Mrs. Solo. H. Solo.
Because that matters.
Now,
how does Ms. Could
first,
be neither?
First off, we need some context here. Now that we know that Han Solo is married to Sana Solo, how does that mix in here?
We don't know that.
Is this,
it's totes, man. It's canon.
Is this Carrie Fisher dropping the ball and saying something she shouldn't have said?
Well, it could be that no matter what, whether it's true or not.
Right.
Now, is polygamy looked down upon in the Star Wars universe?
No. I don't know if you know this, but I forgot his name. What Mormon guy? The dude what made Mormonism?
John Smith.
John Smith. There, no wonder I couldn't remember. He's got the most innocuous last name ever.
It was Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith. Right. That's right. John Smith was the one that did not get it on with Pocahontas as depicted in the movies.
There you go.
Correct.
But yeah, no, Joseph Smith actually was in Star Wars. I don't know if you knew that.
Okay. Interesting.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, so there is a sect of Star Wars that is polyamorous.
It was a long, long time ago.
I honestly, we were gentle in the last podcast. We came up with, Carrie Fisher could just be being Carrie Fisher. Burr, burr, burr.
Yep.
They're married. That's where I'm at on this.
How else do you?
you can't have the ending in Jedi and not have them married or some sort of romantically involved or married at one point or something. Come on.
They might, I mean, like, not married, but something.
Yeah, you know, like, nah, I don't know, like, live-in partners, domestic partners.
Common law.
Common law marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you guys. I mean, it just seems, I don't know. I think people are kind of complicating this more than it needs to be complicated.
Of course. It's just that, well, so. I guess if you've never been into the EU, it could be like, look, oh, it confirms it. But we're in the people who are into the EU, even though that's all gone, it's just kind of like
it's always been and like, always will be.
I don't know how to deal with it not being that way. Right. So this is kind of a non-issue.
Right. And the likelihood that the kids issue, are not.
What if
theirs.
It is misdirection and she's not?
No, it's not misdirection. No, there's an appendix to the story, because apparently
let's remove that appendix right now.
We need to
Carrie Fisher has taken to Twitter and kind of addressed this, and I don't know if this was pushed by Disney or she just did this herself, but apparently her Twitter the tweet that she put out there says something to the effect of, hey, I've been signing my name as Mrs. H. Solo for years. So you guys take that for what it's worth. So, you know, if you think this is a spoiler, fine.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Again, Carrie Fisher being Carrie Fisher. But yeah, they're married. That's where I'm at. I'm staying.
Yeah. Well, boys, that's all I had for rumors.
Oh, my heavens. What another rousing episode that you've listened to with Fly Casual and the Fly Casual players.
That's us.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Hey, do us a favor and do yourself a favor and follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138, where
Steve Powell, foreign correspondent in the UK,
is doing a cracking right job. That's what they say over there, right?
Blimey.
Bringing you the absolute up-to-the-minute news, rumors, crazy, goofy stuff going on, fun things, toys, everything, all the stuff you guys talk about, plus more, plus some pretty dank memes, yo. That's also what they say, right?
Dank memes.
Someone.
All right.
Anyhow, you're going to want to check that out and be a part of the conversation over there, where you might also be able to tap a shoulder. If you want to talk to us, that's the place to start out. So look for us there and you'll find us. Also, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/flycasualpodcast. Did I say it right for the Twitter? Twitter handle is FlyCasual1138.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's late. I don't know if I said it right. I can't think back to 30 seconds ago. But, and then, of course, look for us on YouTube, Instagram, all those lovely places as well. And also, what am I leaving out? Oh, if you're downloading podcasts through iTunes, Stitcher, any of those services, please give us a positive review. Help us reach out to more listeners. We're always looking to grow the family. You know what I'm saying? And hey, I want to throw a challenge out to the listeners.
Huh?
Hey, send us a tweet. I want to know what your plans are for the premiere of The Force Awakens. Oh. I know we're a lot of months out, but hey, that time's going to collapse pretty quickly. And we know that we are already talking very seriously about what our plans are going to be.
That's right. Red carpet with JJ.
That's right. You know what? Yeah. You know what? Riding the golf cart down the red carpet, throwing beer cans out the side. No. But we are working out a plan, and of course, we'll be sharing that with you as soon as we've got it completely nailed down so that maybe you can be a part of it, too. But yeah, send us a tweet. Let us know what you're planning. You're going to see it like midnight show. You're going to see it day one. You're going to wait till the crowd dies out. I'm just kind of curious what our listeners think the optimal theater going experience is going to be. So having said that, gentlemen, do we have any parting words of wisdom?
I got a Porkins bite of the week.
No. Another one?
What?
Wait, I mean, yeah. Again?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hit it, Garrett.
Yeah. Did you know that Fly Casual, as of the recording of this episode, has been around for one solid year?
What?
Yes.
That is, the true? Best bite that we've ever had.
It has to be. It was in the
We're 1 year old?
We are 1 year old.
What?
That's true.
Yeah. I did not know this. You guys didn't tell me this.
Hey,
and I'm drinking Bud Light. What the hell is that all about?
I told you just now.
I know.
I just told you just
now. That's crap.
I know.
We have a cake waiting upstairs, and we're going to do streamers and things.
So good. Hey, congratulations, everybody. Hey, 1 year of Fly Casual.
Yay. Happy birthday.
Yay for things.
Yay and stuff.
All right. Hey, I do have a question that somebody sent over to us that I wanted to share.
Sweet. Is it yes or no?
No.
Dang.
No, it's a no. No. Okay.
It's totally a no.
Jay in Chicago writes in, inadvertently didn't know this was going to make the podcast, but now it is. What are your thoughts? He was specifically referring to the Titaniums, meaning the old Microsheen's branded diecast ships that we've talked about several times that I have a substantial collection of. What are your thoughts on keeping Titaniums in the packaging instead of taking them out of the package and letting your kids play with them, especially if you have duplicates? And I thought I'd put that out there. Let's say you spent a lot of time collecting a bunch of stuff. You're done collecting it. They don't make them anymore, but you've got some duplicates that maybe they're not.
Well, heck yeah. If you have duplicates, take them out.
Rip them out.
Dupes
That's why you buy two of everything.
You only need one on the shelf. The rest are for playing. That's the rule.
Correct.
Did that guy buy dupes when he bought that Stormtrooper on eBay?
He probably
should have.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The first one didn't come in the package, so he doesn't need one in the package if there's not one available. I don't know. Where are you at on that? Well, Mike, you can take all your toys out of the package.
I do. I play with mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
man, that's
so. Actually, he keeps the second one in the package.
I was actually very surprised to hear Garrick so quickly say, oh, yeah, if you got duplicates, go for it. I thought you'd fight.
I did, too. I was like, whoa, that's Garrick.
No, Garrick and I are on the same page. We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. And you, especially with the Titaniums, my response was, hey, if it's worth at this point less than $15 and you've got dupes, let the kids go nuts. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're die cast. Well, it only makes the paint a little bit.
It only makes the one that you have more valuable.
There you go. Because you're automatically taking another one out of circulation.
That's right.
And let's be honest. Are you really going to sell that one down the line?
I mean,
I guess your family will if you die. But
I've given a couple away as swag at our last live Fly Casual experience. But I don't know how many more I'm going to want to part with at our next Fly Casual Live experience. I might have already tapped out on that.
See, now I'm imagining you, Garrick, at the end of your life. So you tell me, is your family going to... Well, are you going to sell your stuff before you die? Or does your family have to get rid of it for you?
Oh, man.
They're going to have to buy a dumpster?
I'm going to have to be in hospice care.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to do it on the sly without me knowing about it.
Garrick, I'm going to tell you what you need to put in your will, and you contingent whoever has power of attorney has to follow these instructions. This is what you want to do. I'm going to say that if you want to specify as your advisor, you want to specify that they are not to sell any of them off, that they need to be passed on to someone who wants them. And if no one wants them, then only under that condition then can they be sold, and all of the proceeds must be going toward making you a Han Solo and carbonite casket to be buried
in.
Just saying.
Okay.
Yes.
I am writing
or actually freeze you in carbonite and then bury you.
There you go.
Oh, actually freeze me in carbonite.
But they got to bury you fast.
Yes. I got to buy more Star Wars figures. I don't know if
if they freeze them in carbonite, they could just hang them on the wall in
That's
the family.
That's true. You'd be like a piece of art. Make sure they pose you in a really position.
Like,
cubist grandpa.
I should have wore pants.
Yeah, I was going to say face forward and wear pants.
Well, no matter what happens when you die, that's going to be the inscription on headstone is I should have wore pants.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you all for joining us. I am Corey. Over there's Mike.
See you later.
Over there's Howie. And still alive for the time being, of course, is Garrick.
Snoke them if you got them.
That's right, and we are the jelly.
You've been holding on to that one.
Yep.